All right, I want to go ahead and start off with a sermon called Fan the Flame. Can you say that with me? Fan the Flame. I see some people fanning in here like it's hot. Maybe it is. Pastor Anthony, I'll let you handle that. Thank you. See, if he wasn't here, then I'd have to turn on the AC. Have you ever tried to start a fire, like a real fire outside? Not like a clicking gas stove or a flipping switch of an electric fireplace or anything like that, but I'm talking like real wood, real matches, all those different things. Have you ever tried it? Some of us are gifted in that, right? Some people can do that, no problem. I can light a house on fire like that, maybe, you know? I hope not. You get arrested. But I remember one time I tried to start a fire for a cookout. I had everything, the charcoal, the lighter fluid, the matches, but no matter what I did, the flame wouldn't catch. It would spark, it would flare up and die. So what did I do? Like any other responsible adult, I put the whole thing of lighter fluid on the charcoal. And I lit it. You know what happened? Yes. Woo-hoo. It was almost like our mortgage burning ceremony. We almost burnt the house down. Praise God we didn't have fire sprinklers then. So I dumped way too much on there. The fire came up right away. And it came up so much that I almost lost my eyebrows. But here's the thing. That kind of fire doesn't last. It looks impressive, kind of like a Christmas tree. Put that sucker out there, light it on fire, all that sap inside of it. Vroom. And then it just goes, dies real quick. It looks impressive for a moment, but without the right fuel and constant attention, it dies out fast. And that's how it is with revival. A lot of us, there was a fire that was lit within us. There was something that caught a flame. And I'm going to tell you something. God can light a fire in you. He can spark something powerful, but if you and I do not fan the flame, feed it, tend to it, it'll burn out. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, fan into the flame the gift of God. In other words, God starts it, but you've got to sustain it. You've got to sustain it. Father, I thank you, God, for the word, Lord, that we're about to look at from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. I pray, Lord, that it would come off the pages and speak to us, that it would give us revelation, that it would help us, Lord, to know what we must do to keep the flame burning. Help us, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit fellowship among us. Lord, I pray if there are people in the house today or even online, God, that they would sense your Holy Spirit that is drawing them unto you. I pray, Father, that there would be salvations today. I pray that there would be flames that would be increased today. Lord, I pray, God, that there are people without a spark. Lord, let there be a spark. Let there be a wildfire that they can't contain, Father. Let it start from one person and go throughout the whole entire place. God, that these walls could not contain it, that this community could not contain it. God, that we would see revival, God, at its best here in White House, Father, in this community, all throughout Jacksonville. Let it start right here at White House Assembly. So God, I call upon you because you are the great I am. I call upon you because you are the one that can do it. God, we know that you've done it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God, in past times, but we're believing for it today in Jesus' name. So Lord, as we read these scriptures, God, let your word, God, just come alive like it did in Luke 24, 45, and open up our minds to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says this, for this reason, Paul's telling the person that he's mentoring, for this reason, this guy's name's Timothy. Timothy didn't write this. This is Paul telling the young guy, Timothy, who he's training, mentoring. He's saying, for this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power. Somebody say power. Love and self-discipline. Here we are after the revival. Here we are only a few days later. Can I tell you something? Revival isn't the end of something. It's the beginning of something. We've encountered God afresh, anew. Now we must carry the fire forward. Paul reminds Timothy to not let the flame die. And God is reminding us as well, do not let what has started in you stop. Continue to fan it. Continue to let it have it. Can I tell you something? Whenever you have a fire, if it doesn't have oxygen, it dies. It took me a couple times to realize that. But the more oxygen it has, the better that thing goes. We have a fireplace in our house, and my wife loves fires, but I hate them when it's hot outside in the middle of January. We live in this godforsaken place called Florida, and it's like 70 degrees when it's supposed to be winter. All you cold-blooded people or hot-blooded people, whatever it is, you don't like that hot stuff. I don't like it. I'm fat. I like cold weather. God placed me in the wrong place, I think. No, he didn't. I'm just teasing. I wish my house was cold. My wife likes it at 76 degrees. If I'm lying, I'm frying. I'm just being honest. I had to get used to it. I grew up in an all-Caucasian house where they like it at 71, 72 degrees, and they turn it down even lower when they go to bed with a fan on. I married an African beauty queen. And she likes it hot like a different place. And after years of sweating, my body's adapted with a lot of deodorant. Am I lying? I'm exaggerating. I feel like the Spirit of the Lord came on me to exaggerate. But I realize this fireplace takes attention. I like to do things the old-fashioned way. Sometimes I like the hard way. I don't know why, but I like the hard way. I like to get my kids out there in the yard and pick up all the little oak sticks and pieces that they can in the yard, because we've got like three live oaks in our yard, and they drop branches constantly. So they go out there and they pick up all these little sticks and branches and stuff like that. If they're too big, we break them and we put them in the fireplace. So we got this big old thing of like small wood. Then I've got some fat lighter that I put underneath of it, and we light that fat lighter, let that fat lighter get nice and hot, stick it underneath of it, and we get that thing going, and it starts catching. And then we start putting bigger pieces of wood on it, bigger pieces of wood. But sometimes the wood might be wet and it needs a little extra help. So guess what we do? I taught my kids this. Blow on it without the spit. Blow on it. I realized I can only blow so much, so I had to get them to help me. And they started blowing on it. And as that flame gets a little bit of fanning or air or oxygen or wind, guess what happens? It starts to get a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. And it increases. And the heat intensifies. And things start going better and better and bigger and better. And guess what happens? We've got us a nice fire in that 76-degree house. It's awesome. Anybody want to come over? But here we are. We're fanning the flame. Remember, the revival is not the end, but the beginning. I intentionally brought our evangelists in and intentionally had a revival so that we could see an ignition or a spark within our church. I want you to look around the room. Go ahead and look at other people. Make them feel uncomfortable for a second. You see, you're looking at people, but I want you to look at the seats. There's empty seats. Not very many, but there are empty seats. We've had to pull in chairs for a few services. And there's something I want you to be aware of. This church is growing. It's not by me. It's not by my wife. It's not by our pastors. But it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? And I want you to be aware of something else. God has done something here in this community. This church has been revitalized, refreshed, and it is going to where God wants it to go. Okay? And I want you to be aware of this. On Sundays, when we come together, if there are empty seats, maybe scoot in. I'm not telling you to do it right now. I don't think anybody's standing to get a seat. But I'm just saying, be aware of others. Okay? Maybe we need to scoot in a little bit. Maybe we might need to move a little bit forward if our seat's taken. What you don't need to do is tell somebody, well, that's where I sit. No. We don't do that. Okay? We don't tell people that's where we sit. I mean, if you want to get a brand and put a brand your seat, that's fine. We're just going to move it every Sunday. keep it musical chairs. But what I'm saying is we are right here where we're almost busting out of the seams. Our kids' ministry is busting out of the seams. And it's great. We thank God for that. Hello. But here's what I want you to understand is that we are in a time of praying. And I want you to pray with us. Because we're trying to figure out, okay, God, what do we do? I know at the beginning of this year we talked about building. I felt like the Lord said build. And it wasn't necessarily just a building, but it was to build disciples, to build the church, to build in the community, to do what He wants us to do. And I'm not sure, Lord, I'm asking the Lord, do we build another building now? Do we go to two services? What do we do? So I'm asking you to pray. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of other people. We will bring in as many chairs as we need to. I'm very thankful for what God's doing here. I'm thankful that you're here. But God has sparked something in this community. And I want you to know that we're not going to stop no matter what the devil throws at us. And I want you to do something else. I felt this in my spirit this week. Do not look at me in any special way. When I say that, I am just like you are. You step on my toe, I'm going to holler. You cut me off in traffic, I'm going to holler. You treat me wrong, I'm going to have to pray really hard not to treat you back wrong. I'm just being honest with you. I am 100% human. Do not put me on any pedestal. I am just like you. I have the same struggles you have. I face the same temptations you have. So never put me on a pedestal. Please, don't idolize. Don't put me up there with God. I'm not even close. I'm not up there with Jesus or the Holy Spirit, any of them. I'm right there with you. I'm side by side with you. We're shoulders to shoulder in this life. You hear what I'm saying? The only difference is that the Lord called me to be the one that speaks on Sunday and to pastor and lead and to shepherd, pray with you, walk with things through you or with you. But I am not anybody special. Hear me when I say that. Okay? There's three things I want us to look at today to continue to fan the flame. Number one, remember the gift. Say that with me. Remember the gift. The gift of God which is in you, verse 6 says from our scripture today. God has already placed something in you. Say, God put something in me. Come on, say it. God put something in me. He did. He put a gift on you or in you and a calling in you. He put a purpose in you. Okay? You see, the revival was an awakening for us. Well, revival is a thing that helps us to refocus, to realign. It helps people, all of us, that maybe have grown cold. maybe have grown a little bit weary or forgotten of what our purpose was or where we need to be focused on. That's what that revival is to revive us, to revive us, because we need reviving. Like Timothy, we need to remember what God has deposited in us. Ask yourself, what did God stir in you during the revival? What did God do in you? What gift needs to be reactivated in you? Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. So number one, remember the gift. Number two, rekindle the flame. Rekindle the flame. It says in verse 6, fan into the flame the gift of God. You see, the fire won't stay lit on its own. It must be fed, it must be stirred, and it must be protected. The last fire that I built was in my backyard. Randy came over and poured some concrete in my backyard for a little shed we're going to put out back. And he moved my Christmas tree from last year over to the area and some other little wood and stuff like that. And I'm very thankful for that because it was probably going to burn my wife's swing she had right there. I like testing things to see if it works out or not before I actually move things. So he moved it for me, went over there, and I had all the kids start getting all the other little pieces of wood and everything in the house, and I put it over there, and I said, you know what, we're going to do this thing right. I've learned my lesson. There's a little bit of gas in a gas can. Oh, no, it wasn't bad. I wish it was bad, so it'd be even fun, more fun for today. But it didn't work out that way. So I took that gas and I sprinkled it all over it, poured it in some areas. There's a Christmas tree, gas, other wood, real dry wood. And I had all the kids over there. And then I took and waited about 5 minutes for everything to soak in. And I lit it, and it goes, woof. Well, we were far enough away. But you know what? It stayed lit. Had a lot of dry wood in it that caught on fire. That Christmas tree caught on fire. Everything caught on fire because we had prepared it properly. But you know what? I taught my 10-year-old son, got this little potato rake, and took that thing, and I was taking and pulling everything back to the center. You see, if I'd left it out like that, there would have been a lot of big chunks and coals that wouldn't have stayed lit and on fire. But if you take those pieces of wood that are on fire or pieces of coal and you put them together, guess what? It starts to create a bigger flame and the heat's bigger and stronger. And they kept on moving it and moving it, and then they kept on going over there. They got that potato rake and they started trying to get moss out of the tree and started putting moss on top of it. My 7-year-old, my 6-year-old, I don't know what my 4-year-old was doing. Praise God he didn't get burnt. Amen. But here they are. They're rekindling that flame. And if you don't feed it, if you don't stir it, and you don't protect it, it'll go out. Paul doesn't say God will flame it or fan it. God says you fan it. Let me just talk to those today. Was in the same place that I was at one time. We're asking God to do something for us. Or in us. Because I've been there. I've been there. And we're like, okay, God, I don't feel you. I don't see you. I don't hear you. But can I be honest with you? The times that I was like that was the times that I was not in my word. Was the times I was not in my prayer closet. It was the times that I was the one that drifted. What does that mean? That means that I was wanting God to fan it. I wanted Him to fan my flame instead of me fanning the flame. Revival brings the spark. Now here comes the discipline of keeping it burning. You know, being a Christian, there's a misconception here, and I hope I don't scare anybody off today, but it's the truth. There's a misconception is if you get saved, you get back in church, everything's going to get better. It doesn't work that way. Life does not get easier. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes it gets harder. Seems like everything hits the ceiling fan. But you will have peace while you're going through all that stuff hitting the ceiling fan. You will understand that your spirit person is secure, safe, and sound, and protected by God. It doesn't mean your refrigerator is not going to go out. Because by golly, the devil probably will make it go out. Your car might get a flat tire. You might have a water pump go out. You could have all kinds of stuff happen. But Jesus is still Jesus. He is still your Savior. He's still the one that will help you. He's the one that will give you that place in heaven, because the only way to the Father is through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no person gets to heaven except through Him. But it's our discipline that comes into play. How is there practical ways? What ways can we fan the flame? Not fame, the flame. There's too many F's in this sermon. Praise God. Number one, consistent time in prayer in the Word. If you're not in the Word, you need to be. I'm going to tell you like a coach would tell you. Get your butt in the Word. Get your butt in prayer. When I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, guess what? My coach told me, you better get it together, son, or I'm going to make you run more than you ever ran in your life. And guess what? I did what he told me to do, and I was better off because of it. But if you're not in the Word, get yourself in the Word. What is the Word? The Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Start reading it. Start reading it. If you don't know where to begin, start in John. The book of John. It's in the New Testament. Start there and read all the way to Revelation. Stop at Revelation. Don't touch it. Go to Genesis. Or go back to Matthew and read the other three Gospels. Okay? If you don't know how to read the Word, go to our discipleship class at 9:45. 9:45, discipleship class. We want you to come be a part of it. So consistent time in prayer in the Word. Get yourself in prayer. How do you do that? Start talking to God. It's that simple. You don't have to say the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those trespass against us. You don't have to say that. Okay? You are talking to the Heavenly Father, and you talk to Him like you would the person on the telephone. You talk to Him like you do your spouse or your friend or your coworker. Hopefully you don't cuss them out. Okay? Don't do that. Talk to God. Communicate with Him. Read the Word. Number two, stay in godly community. Stay in godly community. It's just like those big pieces of coal or the pieces of wood. If one of them rolls off the top and gets off to the side, guess what? It's going to burn out quickly. And it's going to stay a big old cold lump. That's the same thing with you and your walk with Christ. If you're not communicating and fellowshipping with other Christians and being in church, you're going to be a silo. You're going to be out there on your own, and you're going to grow cold, and you will not continue to have the flame. Pull yourself back with the other coals, the other pieces of the fire, so that that flame continues to burn. Does that make sense? So stay in godly community. Serve in your calling. Serve in your calling. Put the gift to work. Some of us have different gifts and talents. Whatever you may have in your abilities, use it for the Lord. Use it for the kingdom of heaven. Maybe you're a great people's person. You've got a great smile. Maybe you want to say, hey, I want to go be part of the greeting team. I want to greet people as they come in the front door. We would love to have you. Maybe you play a guitar or the drums, or you're a sound person, or maybe you want to be on the media team with Chris and her team. Maybe you can do those things. Maybe you're a plumber. Maybe you're a carpenter. Maybe you do concrete. Maybe you're an electrician. Maybe you sew. Maybe you're good with logistics. Maybe you know how to breathe. We'll use you. If you can breathe, we got you. If you need oxygen, Steve, help him out. Let him take a sniff of that thing. Golly, who gives me the mic? I don't get it. Serve in your calling. Guard against distractions and compromise. Ooh, I think I could preach right here. Distractions. Can I tell you something? My mind is so more distracted when I'm on social media than whenever I'm not. When you take a break from social media, guess what happens? Your mind gets clear. Oh, a lot of that depression, anxiety, and stress starts to go away. Well, how in the world do they get to do that? I know they don't make enough money, and they must have got an American Express card. How come they always look happy? It's fake. Some of it's not. Whenever we get in the car to go on a trip after we just, like, hog-tied our kids to put them in their car seats, my wife's like, let's take a family picture. I'm like, really? This is amazing. I feel like a liar. Lies. All lies. Am I exaggerating? No. Don't even go there. Y'all do it too. Don't even act like everybody else on Facebook does it too. Not everybody. Not everybody. But guard against distractions. Guard against distractions. Quit watching CNN and Fox News. Turn it off. You can watch it for a time, but don't watch it all day. You're going to put yourself strung out on anxiety and depression. Our world's coming down and crashing. Everything's going to the fire. Just turn it off for a bit. Maybe you're a newspaper reader. I'd like to talk to you. I ain't many of those anymore. Put it down. Put down your phone. Cut off everything else for a bit. Get the distractions off. Maybe it's Netflix. Maybe you're watching Netflix and binging on it the whole entire day. Turn it off. If you're a Disney Plus person, turn it off. Paramount, whatever it is, turn it off. Maybe it's sports. Turn it off. Whatever it may be, get all the distractions out. I'm not saying you can't have hobbies. You can't have things that you like. That's not what I'm telling you. But there needs to be a balance. There's got to be a balance and compromise. If you have to ask if it's okay, it's probably not okay. Because what you're doing is you're trying to find the line so you can walk right on the line. Okay, here it is. Don't have compromise. Listen. One thing I don't do is I don't have a woman in my car unless there's somebody else in there. Because what I don't need is somebody saying, did you see Pastor with that woman in the car? Well, the thing is, you didn't see all the kids in the back of the seat. You know what I'm saying? I don't compromise. If I go into my office, I do not want to be in there with another woman unless Susie is right next door. I do not want to be, because I don't want somebody saying, well, he did this and he did that. I'm going to be like, you lying devil. You hear what I'm saying? Don't have compromise. If your question is this right or is it wrong, better to be safe than sorry, my friend. Always better to be safe than sorry. Don't let compromise. If they are people that are bringing you down, do not hang out with them. Don't be in their company. You don't have to be a jerk to them. But you can politely say, I feel like God's doing something different in my life and I can't hang out with you as much as I used to. It's truth. All right? Listen, a fire dies without fuel and attention. So does spiritual passion. These ladies just went to a
to Thrive, to this women's conference. They're coming back energized, full of spiritual charge and everything, and they're feeling good. But now it's time to fan the flame. Don't just come back and let it die out, but do what you know to fan the flame. We just came off a revival. You just got energized. God did a miracle in your life or in somebody else's life, and you've heard testimonies. Fan the flame. If the Lord told you start praying for people, start praying for people. If the Lord told you to go out and witness, go out and witness. If the Lord told you to do something, be obedient. Be obedient. Point number three, rely on the Spirit. For the Spirit of God gave
does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. You are not alone in keeping the fire alive. You're not. The person on your left and the person on your right, person behind you in front of you, they are trying to keep that fire alive too by fanning it. You have to. You're not alone. The Holy Spirit empowers you with what? Power to overcome fear and walk boldly, okay? With love to serve and forgive. Everybody say forgive. Amen. With compassion. And then here's the other thing he gives us is self-discipline. That is one of the things that I think that we do not talk about enough. Self-discipline to walk in obedience and spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is keeping your mouth shut when you shouldn't open it. We don't need to hear everybody else's business. We don't. We just don't. Spiritual maturity and self-discipline is learning to discipline yourself to read the Word of God, to obey the Word of God, and act out the Word of God. Self-discipline is saying no to social media and spending time with God. Self-discipline is praying instead of talking to others. Self-discipline is not retaliating when somebody cuts you off in the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru. I'm working on that one. Okay? We have to work on self-discipline. It's something we really got to develop. We've got to walk in obedience. So whenever the Lord tells you, do this, self-discipline says, I'm going to stop what I'm doing and I'm going to go do it right now. I'm going to step into whatever it is you want me to do. Even if I look like a fool, you've given me power to do it, to walk boldly, to act out on it. And the self-discipline to say, okay, God, I'll do it right now. So revival is not sustained by emotion. Hear me. Not by emotion. Sometimes we can get a little confused about what God's doing in emotion. Okay? It's not all about emotions. It's a good thing, but it's sustained by the Spirit and the Spirit alone. The Holy Spirit. I want to close with this story. The story is from World War II. About a small village in Europe where the church was the heart of the community. Pastor Jonathan, you can kind of go ahead and come on up. In that church, there was a large oil lamp that burned day and night. It was to be a symbol of God's presence in the faith of the people. When war broke out, most of the men went off to fight. Bombs fell, buildings crumbled, but somehow the little church remained standing. One old lady, the last remaining member of the church, she made it her mission to make sure that the flame continued to burn. Every morning, she would come in with her small jar of oil. She'd kneel down in prayer.
and she'd refill the lamp. Even when no one else showed up. No one else. But she went to fill that jar with oil and continue to let that flame burn. So no one's showing up, and even when she didn't know when anybody would return, she continued to do so. Year after year after year passed. The war ended. And slowly, people came back. Families returned. And when they stepped into that little church, do you know what they saw? They saw the flame that was still burning. It hadn't gone out because one person, despite what everybody else was doing, despite what was going on in the world, she made it her mission to keep the flame burning. It had not gone out. And this one lady kept that fire alive. Faith was rekindled in a whole community because they saw and remembered that flame that resembled the faith in the presence of the Lord. My question to you today is, are you going to be that little old lady? Are you going to be the one that continues to fan the flame in your own life? If you continue to fan that flame in your own life, guess what could happen? The same thing that happened with this lady. Your family could come to Christ. Your neighbors could come to Christ. Your co-workers could come to Christ because you allowed the flame to continue to burn because you were constantly adding the oil, fanning the flame, doing what needed to be done. You see, God lit the flame during the revival and it thrived. Now it's time to tend that fire, to tend that flame. Don't let what has happened become a memory. Let it become a movement. You have a gift. You've had this spark. Now fan the flame in your life. Fan that gift. Are you ready to take the responsibility for the fire God started in you? Are you willing to say, God, I won't let this fire go out? I want you to stand to your feet. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you are and all that you've done. Thank you for everything, God, that's happened in the past, but God, we're looking to today. We're looking, God, into the future, God, for what you have in store. Holy Spirit, breathe on the embers inside of us. Stir it into a flame again. Stir that fire. Stir the coals. Let the oxygen and the wind come back again so that flame gets bigger and bigger. Lord, let us be like that little old lady that despite what others were doing, despite people not coming back, despite the problems in the world, despite the distractions, she made it her mission to continue to let the flame burn. And because of that, faith was rebuilt in that city and in that community. Lord, let us fan the flame. Let us do what we must do to allow you to use us in everyday life. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Today, if you came into the house, into this church, and you did not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never accepted Him, and you'd say, Pastor Josh, I feel that I have to make that decision today. With nobody looking around and all Christians praying. If that's you, I just want you to slip your hand up. I don't want to embarrass you. If you'd say, Pastor Josh, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to accept Him to be Lord of my life.
I want everybody in the building to pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I need you. Wash me. Cleanse me. I repent of all the sin of my life. And I turn to you. I no longer want to live for the ways of this world, but for you and you alone. I ask you to be Lord and Savior of my life. Help me to live my life for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, if you feel like you need to stir the flame or fan the flame in your life and you want prayer, I want you to come to these altars. I'm going to ask the altar team if they'd come. If you need prayer this morning for something, you know that you need a refreshment in your life, a revitalization in your life, revival. And you'd say, I want to be like that little lady. If that's you, I just want you to come. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't wait, friend. If you know deep down inside the Holy Spirit's calling you, telling you this is the thing, act of faith you need to make, come. Come. Holy Spirit wants to do something in you and through you today. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26 says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, let it be so. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. We love you.